97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, Richie Schuler's going to join us. College basketball analyst. You see him as a color commentator. I think he's got the Fresno State Utah State game coming up on Saturday, so we'll see him down here. He works the circuit. You see him a lot showing up on Mountain West, West Coast Conference games, Big West games as well. Knows the game inside and out, former coach as well. And so we're going to chat with him coming up here in just a moment. In fact, he joins us right now. Again, college basketball analyst. You see him showing up all over your TV. Richie Schuler, kind enough to join us. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Richie.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing down there?
Good to catch up with you. You know, we see each other on the circuit quite a bit. I believe you're going to be down in Fresno coming up on Saturday, right?
Yes. Am I going to see you there?
You know it. Absolutely.
Oh, nice. Yeah, nice. Can't wait.
I don't know if they got you in those, and they treat you guys like this on the TV side, but they got like a penalty box for us radio guys. Completely.
I know. I saw that the one time I was there, like a month ago, right before that second game had gotten canceled. I saw it look like you guys were in prison behind the glass windows.
How was it like for you during all of this in calling games in the middle of a pandemic? How have you had to adjust your world?
You know, it's been weird, as we all know. I'm just very grateful that we're having games. Quite honestly, if you would have asked me last summer if we were going to have a season, I wasn't feeling too confident. I've probably worked about half or maybe 60% of the games I normally work. So, numbers are a little bit down as far as working the amount of games that we normally work, but it's still a lot of fun. The only thing I don't like is having to wear a mask while we're calling the game. But if that's the worst thing, then I guess we're doing just fine.
It's pretty incredible that we're really climbing towards the end of this season. Just your thoughts about making it now to the end of the regular season and getting ready for conference tournaments.
You know, I think it's a testament, really, to how the NCAA has handled it, how the individual conferences and the institutions have handled it, just as far as COVID is concerned. I'm honestly pleasantly surprised that we've gotten this far. It sounds like everything's a go. The NCAA tournament's going to happen. We're going to finish a year. We're going to crown a champion this season. It's been, to me, quite impressive that, you know, a lot of players have had to really kind of sidetrack their college experience, quarantine themselves constantly just to have the opportunity to go on the floor night in and night out to not spread the virus. And so I just think I'm quite impressed with how, you know, the college basketball as a whole has come together to make this a very safe atmosphere for it to take place.
BYU Gonzaga set to kick off West Coast Conference tournament play coming up next week. I know the tournament itself will begin later this week, but obviously Gonzaga is the class and is going to be a heavy favorite to win the overall NCAA tournament. But give me your thoughts on BYU and what you've seen from this team and what you expect from them, not only in the conference tournament, but in the NCAAs as well.
Yeah, I've had them a couple of times, and obviously they are talented, and Mark Pope has done an outstanding job with that group. It's really impressive how, I think this is just year two for him, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
And he's really, you know, he's electrified the program. He's really got them back in the national scene. I mean, obviously he has some good players, and he's brought some from Utah Valley over, but he's also recruited his own. But, you know, the Arizona transfer, we could talk about Barcelo all day long. I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly,
yes.
Barcelo. But he's been, you know, all that's advertised, in my opinion. He's a heck of a three-point shooter, almost 50% on the season. But 15, 16 a game is going to get you a few boards, and he's over 2-1 from the assist-to-turnover ratio. So when I've looked at their stats in the past, I've always been amazed, and this is kind of leading from Barcelo over. He's a really good ball handler. You know, ball control is good for him. You're seeing that as a team, though. I mean, I think they have, don't quote me on this, but they're near 100 more assists than they are turnovers as a team. That's pretty good. Obviously, they're taking care of the ball. And when you have a team that can take care of the basketball, you obviously have a much higher chance to win the game. So, you know, obviously going against Gonzaga, who I think is the number one or by far the best team in the country, second year in a row, in my opinion. I think that they probably would have won the national title last year, and I think it's very good looking for them this year as well. But, you know, with BYU, you got good ball handles. You got Brandon Averett as well, who came over from Utah Valley, who's doing some really good things. He seems like he's clutching big moments. He's knocking the ball down. And then you have, I think he just got named Defensive Player of the Year, Matt Harms.
Yep.
Who was, a highly sought-after big man transferring out from Purdue. And, you know, Coach Pope, he does wonders with big men. And, you know, you could talk about him and Caleb Lohner, and I could go on down the list. But they got talented players, and it wouldn't surprise me to see them. BYU is the kind of team that could go and upset a team like Gonzaga because they take care of the ball. They knock down shots. They have the defensive player of the year. Now, obviously, they're going to have some luck on their side because Gonzaga is so deep. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't surprise me at all to see them go to the championship game and knock them off.
What are your thoughts about some of the rumors swirling that Gonzaga might opt out of the conference tournament, or even BYU has been rumored to possibly opt out of the conference tournament?
You know, in such a weird year, I honestly couldn't blame some teams because I think I don't like it. I mean, let me just put that out there. I don't like it. I wish they would go through with it. But if that were to happen, I couldn't blame them. I think that the conference tournament could probably do more harm for teams like Gonzaga, especially BYU. I think Gonzaga is probably going to be overall number one no matter what happens. But BYU, I think they're, you know, lobbying to get a higher seed. You know, it looks like they're going to be an at-large. But if they were to go in there and lose in the first round, I mean, what would that do to their at-large bid? I mean, would there be a long shot that they could get knocked out? I don't know. Probably not, but they certainly would have a much lower seed. So, you know, this year being the weirdest year of all in college basketball since in our lifetimes, I don't blame some teams for doing it, but I don't like it either, if that makes any sense.
No, absolutely.
Sure does.
And there's a certain, you know, in reading some of the tweets and stuff coming out of Boise State, they're a little angry because they felt like they shouldn't have been forced to play some of these makeup games that led to them losing to Fresno, which means that they may not be an at-large anymore. Their resume took a huge, huge dent by losing to Fresno. You know, my thought is, hey, you know, the conference needs to make these games up, and you need to find a way to beat Fresno. That's your number one problem, not the Mountain West. But, you know, should concessions be made to some of these teams that are higher ranked to make their path a little easier to the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I think it would be great if that was the case, but I don't see it happening, to be honest with you. You know, early on in this season, I remember people from the NCAA were talking. I think Craig Robinson, who's in charge of the NABC, National Association of Basketball Coaches, he had told a friend of mine that, hey, look, we're going to have an NCAA tournament this year, but it's probably not going to be fair. And now we're seeing situations like you just said with Boise State. Yeah, they had to cram that Fresno State game in, and they ended up losing by a couple of points. And now they're in the first four out, along with Utah State right now from the latest projection that I've seen, coming out yesterday. But, yeah, I just don't see the NCAA making any exceptions for mid-major squads like that. I think the NCAA is probably going to make some exceptions for some higher major squads, but I don't know about mid-major guys.
Scotty and I talk a lot about the strength of football in the West. We always talk about it. There's a lot of fear. The Pac-12 hasn't had a champion, and it feels like football is moving out east and moving into the South. How is the strength of college basketball in the West overall? It's been a long time since they've had a champ out this way, right?
It's been a very long time. I couldn't even tell you.
I'd say
who was the last champ around here.
I think it's Arizona 96, yeah. 97, around there.
It is. Lute Olson.
That long ago?
Lute Olson's Arizona team in 97.
Wow.
It's been that long? Wow.
Yep.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm from the East Coast. I'm from, from Cincinnati, Ohio, and I spent a lot of my life in North Carolina. I didn't pay any attention to the West Coast basketball back then. The fact that I've been in Los Angeles now for 7.5 years, now that I know the West Coast, I'm like, man, I was really missing out because there's some great basketball out here. But I was so inundated with the programs and the leagues that we had in the Midwest and the East Coast, I didn't pay any attention to the West Coast. And clearly, you know, maybe the teams aren't as strong now as they were back then. So, I hear you. I think you look at the leagues, I think last year – I think it was safe to say the West Coast Conference was the best conference in the West Coast, or the western half of the United States. You know, that's including the Mountain West. That's including the Pac-12, the WAC, the Big Sky. I thought the WCC was the best. Mm. This year, I don't know if I would say the same. You know, you have Gonzaga and BYU, of course, but the Mountain West seems to be maybe just a tad bit stronger. And You know, but other than that, you know, Pac-12 is getting better. I think they had a little downward spiral there for a couple of years, but I think they're back to being at the head of the class a little bit here in the West. And, you know, it's a great question. I'm trying to find an answer as I talk myself through it. But it's obviously the Western half of the United States basketball, from a national perspective, probably isn't nearly as strong as a lot of the schools in the Midwest and the South and the East. But I do feel like it's coming. The Mountain West has improved dramatically. It's, you know, you're seeing the back. I mean, obviously they had like five teams go, I think, in 2013 or 14. They've never been at that level, but you're starting to see now you got four teams in consideration for the tournament. I think they're getting better and better. I think with BYU getting back to national prominence, I think the WCC is going to climb. And I think the Pac-12 is kind of on an upswing. So in a very long-winded answer to your question, I don't know, but it seems like it's getting better.
Richie Schuler joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Probably not a fair question to ask to try to do a quick comparison, but in your mind, is this Mark Few's best team at Gonzaga?
I thought last year was, to be honest, but couldn't see that one through. So does that season even count in the minds of best teams? I don't know.
Not
yeah,
really.
I would go ahead and say that. Yeah, they're fantastic. He's got a machine going over there. And it's funny, I talked to Dan Munson at Long Beach State yesterday. I have their game tomorrow. And we talked, we were joking around. He goes, hey, I still claim that I'm part of Gonzaga's family from 21 years ago. And I said, Dan, you started that thing. You should be proud. It's amazing because Mark Few was his assistant. Leon Rice was his assistant. They've gone on to have great success at their schools, their individual schools. But Gonzaga is just amazing. It seems like they just continue to get better. You know, they almost won the national championship a handful of years ago, at 3, 4, or 5 years ago, whatever that was. I thought last year was their big year, and I'm hoping this year is as well. So man, they're good. I mean, they're talented. They got to get past the Baylors and the Michigans of the world, though.
Do you see a pretty wide-ranging coaching carousel opening up after this season? Do you see a lot of coaching vacancies, a lot of movement, or do you think that there will be less because of the COVID situation?
I think there's going to be a ton. Last year there was only, I say only, right, but there was only like, was it 24, 25, maybe 26. It was in the low to mid-20s, I think, which was really low in comparison to most years. You know, I think there was a lot of coaches on the chopping block. I think there was coaches that were on the chopping block because their programs were losing. And I think there was a couple of coaches that were on the chopping block because they were deep into the FBI investigations. And most of those coaches retained their jobs, all those coaches. I mean, normally there's 40, 50 openings. Somebody told me that. I didn't research that. Somebody told me that recently. There's like 40, 50 Division I head coaching openings. Last year there was like, let's just say 25. And I think a lot of athletic directors, number one, they were worried about budget. Can we really fire this person, pay them out, or can we continue to pay them while we bring a new coach in? There was budget issues, and then there was also the issue of, man, you know, they didn't really get a chance to prove themselves in the conference tournament. Some of them didn't get a conference tournament. Or they didn't get a chance to make noise in the NCAA tournament. Let's give them one more year. So do I think it's going to be if everything was back to 100% normal, I think there would be a heck of a lot more firings. But since there is, you know, we're still kind of in the quasi mode of COVID right now, I think there's going to be a healthy amount, more than usual, but maybe not quite as much as we would have seen if everything was back to 100% normalcy.
Nabeesh Cade obviously doing great things at Utah State. They rebounded after a couple losses to Boise State with two wins against Nevada, who's not a bad team at all. And then they've got Wyoming and then the Fresno State that you'll call game that you'll call coming up on Saturday. Give me your thoughts on Craig Smith's crew and what you expect out of them and their chances come Selection Sunday.
They're dangerous. I mean, look at them the last 2 years. They really hit their stride at the end of season. Won a lot of games. They might have had one or two hiccups in that process, but they won a lot of games, and then they would go and win the conference tournament. And I'm not sure they were the number one seed in either one of those years.
Nope.
I don't think they were in either. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, Nimi Keita is obviously the centerpiece, and every player on that team will tell you that. He is everything to them. He dominates the game on both ends of the floor. defensively, we know what he can do. He can block shots. I think he's the best in the school now in his third year. How about that? He broke the career blocks record midway through his third season. And so he's not just blocking shots, but he's getting people to go afraid to just even go into the paint. Like, he's altering shots. He's preventing people from taking shots. And then he's getting rebounds. He's long. He's not just a good shot blocker. He's also an excellent defender. He talks back there. He helps and recovers. He does all the things that you coach, which is great to see. But on offense, everything goes through him. They're always worried that he's going to get the ball, and they're going to double-team if he does. And every time he gets double-teamed, he's such a fantastic passer out of the post. They over there think he's the best passing big in the nation. He's getting so many assists because he draws so much attention, and he's obviously big. But he's good at passing out of those double teams and hitting players right there in the money in their hands to knock down those three-point shots. Brock Miller has benefited from him as well as many others. But I just think, he's everything. So if he's healthy, they can beat anybody in the conference tournament. Obviously, they've got guys that can shoot the basketball. They got guys like Marco Anthony who can do just about everything. Justin Bean is probably my favorite player in the entire West Coast. I love that kid. And the fact that he can play the ukulele and sing makes him even more, all that more impressive. You seen those videos on YouTube?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's fantastic. I mean, such a good kid, man. But just, they have such balance. They share the ball so well. They move it well. They take care of it. They play good, strong defense. They rebound. No doubt in my mind that they're one of like five teams that can win the Mountain West tournament at the end of whatever it is next week, I think.
It's going to be a lot of fun, too, because that tournament features, as you mentioned, there's five teams. I'll throw Nevada in the mix on that with the top four teams as well. A lot of times you go into a tournament, you think, okay, you got maybe one, two, three teams that have a chance. That Mountain West tournament's going to be crazy next week.
It is. I mean, we got Utah State. You just mentioned Nevada. San Diego State, obviously, is playing really well. Boise State's on a skid right now, but I think they're going to be fine. Who am I forgetting?
Colorado State in there, too.
Oh, Colorado State. They're having their best conference season in the history of their school. And if it wasn't for San Diego State getting a couple forfeit wins, I think that was from New Mexico, good chance that Colorado State might be crowned the regular season champ. So they're fantastic. And let me just tell you what Nico Medved has done, what he did at Furman, taking over an awful program and winning the league in 3 years, and then another awful program at Drake, and then going 500 in the only season he was there before bolting for Colorado State. Now here he is in his third year, I believe. And, they could win the conference championship in the tournament. It's just incredible. The level of coaches that there are in the Mountain West, I think, is incredibly remarkable. They've got a lot of guys that could go on and have massive success at Power 5 schools. But a lot of them just choose to stay. They like the job stability and you got a filled arena just about every night when it's not COVID in the Mountain West.
Well, let's hope Craig Smith's one of those guys that sticks around for a while, too, because I think I got a sneaking suspicion he's going to be in demand. So, well, hey, Richie.
He should be in demand.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he's good.
Richie, appreciate your time, man. Looking forward to seeing you in Fresno.
Thank you, Richie.
Yes. Hey, well done, you guys. Keep up the great work. Look forward to talking to you guys soon. And, yep, Scotty, see you soon.
You got it. Richie Schuler right here on the Zone Sports Network, former head coach, good dude, and one of the best when it comes to breaking down college basketball. And he's fun on the call of games, too.
Seems like a great guy.
Yeah.
To the question that I asked him about the West, there's only been six teams that have appeared in the championship game out of the West in the last 30 years. 30 years, which gives you 60 positions or opportunities,
okay.
And the West has had six.
All right, so we're going since 1991?
What, 92, yeah, that 92 championship.
Okay, so let me try to guess here. Six. So I've got to come up with six teams.
Six teams that were in the championship.
In the championship game.
Yes.
All right, so Arizona's 1-1 in that stretch.
Yeah, 97.
You've got Gonzaga, who played in a championship game.
In 2017.
You've got, does this count the UNLV teams? Is UNLV one? Or is that too soon?
That's too soon.
Or too old?
Too old.
Too old, okay. Dang, I was hoping I could sneak UNLV in there. You've got Utah. Well, yeah, Utah played in the championship game.
Correct.
In that stretch.
1998.
You've got UCLA, who won it in 95?
Correct. Yes. Jim Hark, UCLA, 1995, beat Arkansas.
Beat Arkansas, yeah. Tyus Edney with the win in Boise on a game winner. Let's see. What else?
Only two more.
Two more.
I got to tell you, you got one more UCLA team in there.
Oh, okay.
2006, lost to Florida.
Oh, I forgot about that team. Yeah.
Ben Howland's team, 73-57.
So you got UCLA in there twice, no UNLV. I'm coming up empty on this.
And you've got Arizona one more time. Lost.
Lost to Kentucky?
Duke.
All right.
Lost to Duke in 2001.
All right.
That's it. 60 teams through 30 years of championship games, and the West has six. And only one championship in that. Sorry, two championships in that time. UCLA and Arizona both got a championship. UCLA in 95, Arizona in 97.
Jeez.
And as you mentioned, 97 was the last time the West saw a champion crowned.
That's not good.
That's not good.
Not good, Bob.
That's also, 2006, the last time the Pac-12 had a representative, UCLA.
All right, coming up next, Total Recall, recapping some of the big moments of today's show. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Slow Mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
Time to welcome in our baseball correspondent, Joe Ingles.
Sandy Triangle pitch is ready to go.
Joe, I heard so much about that everywhere I went. I asked one guy, did you hear that? He goes, how did I not hear that? Every show on your station replayed that.
You realize they replayed it because of me, not because of you guys.
Yeah, I think we're pretty aware of that, Joe.
Which is back to the point of this is my show and you guys are just a little part of it.
You got to give us enough credit here for us to be smart enough. Not very smart. I mean, we're in the meeting. We're not very smart.
Smart enough to get me to come on the show.
Right! And we know you're more popular than us. We got that part figured out.
Yeah, I remember when Joe begged me to come on 7 years ago.
What a waste of 7 years.
Oh, yeah!
Catch Jazzman Joe Ingles with DJ and PK every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Time to recall all the great and not so great moments of the show.
Recall. It's Total Recall with Hanson Scotty on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Recall.
.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Time for another edition of Total Recall, recapping some of the big moments of today's show. By the way, big thanks to Richie Schuler, who joined us. You can catch him on the call on CBS Sports Net. Does a ton of games in the West Coast. Does some stuff for ESPN, CBS, Fox. He's all over the place. Good dude, though.
Fun conversation with him.
If you missed it, it'll be up on our podcasting platforms, whether you're iTunes, Stitcher, whatever the case might be, those are always available for you. Full shows, individual interviews, team feeds, whatever you need it to do, you've got it there and available for you for all your listening pleasure. All right, Total Recall. Today we focus on our conversation with Kurt Helin. Kurt, how are you?
Hey, Kurt.
I'm probably doing better than Jazz fans, so I'm good, yeah.
Jazz fans are a little salty today. They're not happy about the officiating in that game last night.
No, I don't blame them for being mad about the ejection. I think that there's been a string of it's almost like the officials started talking amongst themselves or through the union or whatever. And, I mean, because J.J. Redick got ejected the other day for, like, basically rolling the ball back to the official. And, you know, I don't know if you saw Booker's Booker got two within like 5 seconds from different refs. I didn't like the ejection. I don't know what said. I'm not next to the court. I don't know what words were used that might have crossed the line, but I'm generally not a fan of ejecting or penalizing players for showing emotion. And if you are in an intense game like this one was, where you've got two, you know, look, you got the top team from each conference. This is I don't know if it's going to be a finals preview, but it's a potential finals preview, and guys are testy at the end of it. Yeah, you've got to let them vent a little bit, and I think sometimes the officials don't do that and don't give players space. They certainly didn't give Donovan enough space to do that last night. And again, I don't know what he said, and there are lines that can cross, but the second technical is really an issue, man. Like, you've got to give guys some leeway when they're emotional like that. Or, better yet, start a dialogue earlier in the game so it doesn't quite get there.
Kurt, we love having you on for multiple reasons, but one of my favorites is sometimes we're a little too close to the story or a little too close to the situation. And I love that you've got a kind of an outside perspective. How unbalanced was it with the officials from an outside look?
I'm not going to make a lot of friends here. I didn't think it was egregious. Like, were a lot of 50-50 calls kind of going against you, but a lot of those were, there was a fair amount of contact on plays where, you know, the fouls were called or not called, and how should I put this? It probably could have been more balanced, but I don't think that there was one, like, horrific call where I was like, how did they make that? I know that, like, one of the offensive foul with, like, a little less than 2 minutes on Donovan Mitchell drew a lot of ire. And I was like, nah, he kind of hooked him. Like, you could make that call. Now, I don't know if I would have made that call. I think I probably would have gone with a no call there. But I don't know that, like, I think it felt like a lot of 50-50 calls broke against the Jazz in this one.
Kurt Helin right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Also, you saw Joel Embiid just on a mission last night. You knew that he took that game against Rudy Gobert very seriously. Yeah. Where is he at right now in your current MVP standings?
Joel Embiid is one of the players who plays best with a chip on his shoulder, right? Like, some players don't really rise to those moments. Joel Embiid is better when he's got a genuine anger about something or has, in the Kobe Bryant style, created a straw man to be angry at and then uses that for his motivation. He was mad at Rudy. He was going to take it out on Rudy Gobert because, frankly, Rudy Gobert, I deserved to be third-team All-NBA last year. To answer your question, he'd be on top right now. And part of it is that LeBron and the Lakers have stumbled lately. I think those are your 1-2. I think LeBron has a better narrative. Frankly, let's just be honest. If we're going into a playoff series, if you're asking me who the best player on the planet is, I'm still taking LeBron. But if for this regular season so far, I think Embiid's been a little better. We'll see what happens in the second half. And then Jokic would be third, and then it would drop off into a – I'd have to think about who was fourth and fifth and on, you know, Lillard and a whole lot of people are Harden. Harden's not going to win it.
Yeah.
Man, he's playing well.
Oh,
he is playing such good basketball, but he can't. There's no way he'll win it because myself and other voters will be like, yeah, I still count Houston. I still count that ugliness against you, but it might be hard to keep him off the bottom of the ballot.
So, Kurt, watching Ben Simmons last night and watching his anger and his aggression and his drive. I've only got to see him really through four quarters twice in the two Jazz games, but I've only seen him maybe two other times so far this year, maybe a total of two or three quarters where I've actually tuned in to watch him. Does he always play that salty, or is there a little extra saltiness there?
There's been a little extra saltiness since the trade rumors. He's been playing better, I think, but much more motivated, much more focused since the rumors of him being traded for Harden were, since that bounced around, that seemed to put a chip on his shoulder. Like, you would move on for, you know, a certain amount of, like, you would move on from me. And I'll be honest with you, I would have moved on with him for Harden. Like, if I would have made that move, as much as I think Ben Simmons has advantages, James Harden is just a flat out better player, and you sacrifice some defense and I'd still do that. But I think that lit a fire under him. And I got to also say this, some credit to Doc Rivers for both motivating him, but also putting him in better positions to succeed. They're using him to run the offense in transition and in spots where he struggles more is starting the offense in the half court. Well, now, and running some pick and roll there because he's not a shooting threat. Well, he's gone to Tobias Harris to do more of that, and Tobias is better at it. He's just he is a legitimate shooting threat, and you can have Simmons is a smart player. He cuts, he moves well off the ball, and he can find some gaps. So I think they're using him a lot better, but he has definitely played with a lot more energy since the trade rumors.
There you go. Great conversation with Kurt Helin, again, available on our podcasting platforms as well.
Don't hate Kurt, Jazz fans.
He's a good friend of ours.
Calm it down. He's just giving his perspective from the outside looking in. He said it wasn't as much of a discrepancy as maybe some might think, but it was enough to send Donovan Mitchell over the top. That's as unruly and angry as I've seen Donovan Mitchell since arriving here 3 years ago. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yep.
I don't think I've seen Donovan. I don't think I've seen Donovan lose his cool like that.
No, no, no.
So it tells you something happened.
Hey, Austin just shared this quote, and I found it. So Josh Hart plays for New Orleans, and he's getting into this whole NBA Top Shot thing. Do you know much about this?
No, I don't.
It's where it's kind of like the NBA cryptocurrency, but the currency is actually NBA highlights, like, you know, a big dunk by Jordan or like historical video highlights that you own, and then you can trade and or, you know, sell and buy. Oh, okay. And all this stuff. And anyway, Josh Hart told Hoops Hype, said either somebody's scoring against the Pelicans, Rudy Gobert blocking my damn layup, or some bullcrap like that. We played the Jazz, and I think Rudy's now getting into Top Shot. He had a dunk. It wasn't on me, but it was in the general vicinity, and he knows I do Top Shot. He looked at me while running back, and he said, there's your Top Shot moment right there. And I was like, ah, bleep you.
Yeah, that's really funny. Oh, that's funny.
I think Rudy holds his own on the trash talking. I think he's just fine.
Yeah, he's pretty quick, pretty angry. And I think he does pretty good with the language. Not a lot of barrier, not a lot of gap there.
No. And I think some of the language transcends any generation or any language, honestly, in any culture.
There's your Top Shot right there.
So good. All right, we'll wrap things up. Get you ready for the big show straight ahead right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Number one.
Make us your number one preset.
The Zone Sports Network is Utah's number one choice for sports radio in Utah. From DJ and PK to Hanson Scotty and The Big Show with Gordon Monson and Jake Scott, The Zone continues to dominate the competition. Thank you to all of you that continue to make the Zone Sports Network Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports station. Your home for the best coverage of the teams you're passionate about is right here. 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
If you're looking to buy or sell a home here in the state of Utah, you do it through Homie. Homie.com. You know, I love Homie because they came in and revolutionized the way we buy and sell and the amount of money that we get to keep in our own pocket. I can't stand the fact that we haven't changed the way real estate is bought and sold over so many years. As technology has developed and things become so much easier with technology, you still got realtors that are collecting 3%, 1%. They're still making a ton of money, taking your equity away from you. You don't have to do that anymore, and Homie.com is keeping that money in your pocket. It's a flat rate of $1,500 to sell your home. It could be a $2 million home. It could be an $800,000 home. It's a flat rate of $1,500, and it's the full realtor experience. They assign you a realtor. That realtor comes out, takes all the professional photography. They give you the 360-degree view that you can post, that everybody can walk through your home. They work with the buying agent. They do it all for $1,500. Why waste money selling your home? Don't do it anymore. Use promo code HANS at homie.com to get $500 off their $2,000 sell price. That's promo code HANS to sell your home at homie.com.
Would you mind telling me who you are?
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers on 97.5 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network.
Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
So I don't even know what to think about this, man. We ran Everyday Parlay for like 2 years, 3 years maybe.
Yeah.
And I think we had a total of 10 parlays over like a two-year period.
I know, right? And bam, right out of the gate, we hit a parlay.
I don't get it. So yesterday, Scotty and I and Lloyd were kind of going back and forth. We hadn't done the Everyday Parlay for like a year and a half or so. And we're like, hey, well, let's just bring it back for a day and let's see what we get.
Yeah.
Scotty took the Aztecs to cover the 7. I took the Nets to cover the 10 against Houston. And Lloyd took the Blazers plus 1.5. And we hit the parlay.
I love it. I love we nailed that thing.
I can't believe it. So now you get a little bit of taste of Vegas, and you're like, well, maybe we should try it again.
That's what always happens.
But Lloyd took off, so.
I don't know. Austin, you got a game you like?
It's got to be tonight.
Yeah.
Sure, I can find one. You guys go first.
Let's see here.
Scott, are you staying NBA or are you going college?
Let me look on the college front here real quick.
You want me to go first? Because I've actually got mine. So Milwaukee and Memphis play tonight. Milwaukee's coming to Memphis. I think Milwaukee is already on all-star watch. I think a lot of guys are disconnected. It's there at the FedEx Forum in Memphis, and Milwaukee's a 6-point favorite. I think Memphis covers that. So I'm going to take the Memphis Grizzlies plus 6 is what I've got here on this line.
I'm going to go a little local college basketball. Southern Utah is a 2.5-point favorite in Pocatello against Idaho State. Southern Utah having a very sneaky good year this year in college hoops. Give me Southern Utah minus the 2.5 against Idaho State.
Minus 2.5.
Now, if I pick a game that ultimately doesn't happen due to COVID, where does that land?
It's just a in gambling, if you do that and you just get your money back.
I see. So it wouldn't hit the parlay?
No, I'd say we'd still count the parlay.
Okay, well then give me Boston to cover against Toronto tonight, the minus 7.5.
Boston minus 7.5.
And if I'm wrong, blame Lloyd.
Yes. Oh, don't worry about that. Lloyd will take the full brunt of that.
Is the last NBA games, right? Yeah. Yeah, tonight's the last NBA game, so we will have to build a college line tomorrow. But yeah, we hit the parlay right out of the gates. That doesn't happen very often.
No, it does not at all, but we're going to take it.
How about the Nets just pummeling Houston, though? I hate to say I saw it coming, but I saw it coming.
Yeah, you saw that one.
I just knew that that James Harden would want to put a beating on his own team. And, you know, getting a triple-double with 30 points and 14 assists against your old team probably doesn't suck. Put together a nice little triple-double.
And it's nice, you know, telling the fans, like, hey, guess what? I'm the one that got away. This is what you have to deal with now. So for all of you out there booing me right now, this is why I left, because this organization stinks.
I still wouldn't know how to feel about him if I'm a Houston Rockets fan.
I'd be upset, and you have every right to be upset. I think it's okay to be upset about it. Right? I'm not going to tell anybody to not boo or anything like that. You want to boo? By all means, boo.
I wonder if there's any backstories about how he didn't call the owner and say, hey, look, I appreciate all the love and attention, and I'm so glad that you drove out here to San Diego. Was it where was he?
San Diego, yeah.
Thank you for flying out here to San Diego with the entire team. What a surprise.
That's very nice of you. That's very kind, and I appreciate you doing that, but I'm going to leave and go somewhere else.
Sometimes all it takes is a phone call.
It wouldn't have hurt.
I heard he sent out a tweet, then deleted it and said, no, that wasn't the real thing, then just resent the same tweet.
No, I've got to write something for the Players Tribune.
Yeah, I don't know if there was some type of ugliness on the exit there, but, you know, if a superstar player gets really chubby and quits trying, that would bug me as a fan. I'd be like, we could have done this different. It didn't take Popeyes and the clam chowder from Skipper's.
Do you think he was
laying it this way?
Do you think he was layering up with his clothing? Because he got back into shape fast. Like, you watched him last night, I'm like, that dude looks like prime.
And he looked like he was smuggling pool towels those last few games there in Houston.
I'm not even kidding. It was weird. It's like watching Tom Hanks in that movie when all of a sudden he's spearing a fish and he's like 30 pounds, 40 pounds lighter. And it's like, how did that happen?
It's a great diet plan. Get stuck on an island all by yourself.
Tom Hanks only took like 3 months to drop all that weight and look all sinewy and bony.
Well, tell you what. I mean, the holiday or the Hollywood diet, you know, can shed some pounds pretty quick.
Why are you tapping your arm?
I was doing the Damian Lillard. It's like, time to go.
All right.
97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.